Chapter 54, if you'll look there with me, Isaiah 54. Appreciate the brothers that ministered last weekend when we were away, and for the good reports of messages that were fitting, appropriate, anointed. Praise God for the word of the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 54, we'll read beginning with verse number 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Large the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, shalt remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Now this is an amazing prophecy of Isaiah, and to kind of just give you the picture, you have to really go back a chapter to chapter 53. Isaiah 53 is probably the most vivid presentation of the cross and the sufferings of Jesus in Isaiah 53. You read there about the fact that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid it as it were our faces from him, for he was despised and we esteemed him not. Actually, all of Isaiah 53 is a prophetic message presenting the gospel. And you remember that Isaiah was a prophet to Israel in their time of judgment. They were in captivity in Babylon. They were persistent in their sin. They refused to heed the warnings, and they were taken away into Babylon, into captivity, expected there to just adapt to the pagan ways, the pagan religion, pagan culture. But you can read there in Psalm 137 that they had a tough time making an adjustment to Babylon. They remembered what it was like to be in Jerusalem, to be at home. They remembered it by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they wasted us. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You see, they were hundreds of miles away from home in Babylon in captivity, but their hearts were still in Jerusalem. Their hearts were still at home. And so it's really fitting when you read Isaiah 53 and you see that this chapter is a prophetic word from Isaiah giving to them that are held in captivity, that are under the judgment of God for all of their waywardness and all of their sin, that God sends to them a word of hope. It is a gospel message. It is a presentation of Jesus, his sufferings. It's a presentation of the cross and all that Jesus endured, on the cross to provide hope, salvation for everyone from that day forward. Do you understand with me here this morning that it doesn't make any, it makes no difference what your present situation might be. God still has a plan for your deliverance. Amen. And even in their calamity, and even in their despair, and all that they were going through, God is using Isaiah to speak to them and to give them a word of hope to let them know there is hope, there's deliverance for you, there's salvation for you. God, even in the desperate situation that they were in, God does not give up. He doesn't give up, but he provides hope. In the worst of situations, God provides hope. So that sets the scene then for the prophecy, which is just a continuing message. First in Isaiah 53, the presentation of all the sufferings of Jesus and the purchase of the salvation of mankind, everyone, through the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. Isaiah 54 then presents the effect or the result, what happens, what was to happen as a result of the coming of Jesus and the sufferings of Jesus and all that he was providing for them. This is a message of hope that was coming to them, telling them, you need to sing. They were just saying in Psalms, how could we ever sing the song of Zion down here in Babylon? And the prophet is saying, sing, O barren ones, thou that didst not bear. Sing. He's telling them to sing in response to this message of hope. Amen. You see, the message of the gospel, it provides hope when there is no hope. It provides deliverance when there is no hope. And that's what Isaiah 54 is. It is the promise of God that was given to them, not only to Israel in their judgment, but also to everyone, including you and I, even in these days today. This is a wonderful message of hope that is given to us. Amen. We have a reason to sing, and that reason is Jesus suffered and paid the price for our redemption, our salvation, our deliverance, and because of that, we've got a reason to sing. Amen. Praise God. Redemption brings a song into the world. Amen. Only the redeemed have a song of joy. Sure, the world has its song. It has its music. But the world's music is empty. It's carnal. It certainly has no lasting blessing or hope. But we sing just like it has been promised here in Isaiah 54. We have received a song of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so he's saying, sing, O barren ones. Telling them to sing even though that they are barren. And he's given this very vivid picture of a woman, a mother that is barren and longing. All of the women of Israel, it was considered to them a curse to not be able to have children, it was considered God's blessing to be able to have children. And certainly, I believe that children are a blessing from the Lord, and that they are a blessing in our lives. And as a matter of fact, I'll just take a little side note here and just say, I believe that children are a blessing from the Lord, and that is a biblical principle, right? That children are a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says in Genesis to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. And people say, well, I don't want to have children because the world is so overpopulated. Not true. Last week, Marsha and I were traveling from way down in southern Georgia up to the Atlanta area, and we took our GPS, took us, we were trying to get to a little suburb area of Atlanta called Gainesville, and we were trying to get there, so our GPS took us off the interstate, which is sometimes a mistake, but we followed the roads, turn left here, go 2 miles, turn right here, and we did that for 2.5 hours, trying to get to Gainesville, Georgia, and it was pretty country. But one thing that I noticed was that that area is pretty much, there's not very many houses. There's not very many buildings. It's just open property. And I think I made comment to Marcia, said, look at this. Look at all this land. Look at all these, this place. There's no houses here. It's just all open. And it's just, I got to looking into this that, when people say that the world is overpopulated, certainly it's not the truth. And with all of the land area in our world, even with 8.2 billion people on the planet, if every individual in the world, born to this world, if the land was divided up equally, every individual, I'm talking about the 8.2 billion people, would each have 2.3 acres per person. We are not overpopulated. Folks, we need more babies. We need more babies. Amen. People say, well, we don't need more children. The world is just too wicked to have children birthed into this wicked world. Not so. As a matter of fact, Isaiah in another place said that we are to raise up the foundation of many godly generations. Instead of looking what's going on in the world, we need to see children born into this world and raise them up to be faithful, godly men and women. Amen. That's just a kind of a little side note, little additional thing there here this morning. But even more significant in this account when it's describing sing, O barren ones, sing, the significance of this is the spiritual message, the spiritual barren condition that they were in. Israel was in terrible condition, spiritually speaking, and in great need of help from the Lord. But it is the Lord that blesses our lives and can cause us to be spiritually fruitful. Amen. And it is the will of God that we bear fruit. That is His will. John 15:16. You've not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Psalm 92 in verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. It is the will of God and the blessing of the Lord. You see, Isaiah 53 was a presentation of the gospel, and Isaiah 54 are all the promises that are given to the people of God as a result of the gospel. Amen. The message of the gospel. And part of that message is, I'm going to give the barren a song, and I'm going to cause the barren to be fruitful. Amen. To be able to bear fruit, and that's the message. That's the important message of Isaiah 54. Amen. I do believe that it is the will of God that we believe God for bigger things and greater things in our lives. Amen. It is God that's in control. Our lives are in His hands, and I believe we have too small a faith. We need to believe God for greater and bigger things, wonderful and mighty things that He wants to do. He wants every believer to not just be saved, to not just be born again, but to bear fruit. That's the will of God. We were saved for a purpose, and that purpose is to bear fruit in this world. Amen. That is the plan of God. That is the will of God, that we bear fruit. Amen. Now, the picture or the metaphor that goes on here in this chapter is describing what God wants to happen as a result of the gospel message. Amen. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. This is a prophetic message. When the gospel is presented, when the message of the cross is presented, then as a result of that, there is going to be fruitfulness instead of barrenness. There is going to be joy instead of sadness. Amen. There's going to be a song that's going to come as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is an amazing picture of what God wants to do in the lives of people. You see, tent life was very familiar to the children of Israel. They understood all about what it was to be nomads, to be traveling. They traveled for 40 years in the wilderness. They knew what it was like to be tent dwellers. Even Abraham was a tent dweller, even though he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for a permanent city, but he understood that we are temporary. There's a message here that we live in this world and it is a temporary world. We are not here forever, but we are here for a purpose, for this period of time. The tent was like a temporary dwelling. 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle or this tent were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He also said that in Hebrews that we confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. And so we are temporary in this world, but while we are here, he wants us to have vision. He wants us to expand. He wants us to see that this was going to be an enlarging of the place of your tent. Now, this is a glorious message of the gospel and what was going to happen as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was going to be opened up. When you read through the rest of the text here that we read, that the gospel was going to be presented to the Gentiles. It was going to be opened up, and it wasn't just going to be the Jews, but it was going to be many people that were going to be coming in to the kingdom of God. And the message is this wonderful message, wonderful presentation of the New Testament church and what the gospel was going to accomplish, and how that the church was going to be broadened. Our vision was to be broadened to include everyone, whosoever will believe upon the Lord. Amen. William Carey, who was the father of modern missions, his most famous message that he preached was called Expect Great Things from God, Attempt Great Things for God. He preached that message, and the ministerial group that he was speaking to rejected it. They rejected his message. They said, if God wants to evangelize the heathen, he can do it without your help or mine. But he preached the message, and it was kind of like the tipping point. It was the beginning of what God was getting ready to do to open up the gospel all over the world. Amen. He was going to use a message like that. Of course, Carey went and spent the rest of his life in India, in missions. He was mightily used of the Lord. And so what Isaiah saw was the tent being enlarged. He saw the expansion of the gospel. This was the promise of Isaiah 54, was that God was going to, through the power of the gospel, he was going to be joy. He was going to give a song. He was going to turn the barren into fruitful. And then he was going to open up the expansion of the gospel to whosoever will, to the entire world. And he said, this tent is going to be enlarged. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes. You get the picture. You get the imagery here that Isaiah is presenting here, that the gospel was going to expand. It was going to grow. And this was the exact text that William Carey read when he preached that great message from Isaiah 54, explaining to that group of people that God wanted to include everyone. God wanted to even include the heathen and the pagan and those that were so far removed from the gospel. He wanted to include everyone. Amen. So this is a message about vision, the promise of God to be able to see what God wants to do. God wants us to enlarge our vision. Amen. He wants us to make room for bigger and greater things that he wants to do. May God help us. May we pray, oh God, help my unbelief and help me to believe, God, that there are wonderful, mighty things that you desire to do in expanding the message of the gospel throughout London, throughout Laurel County, throughout this part of the state of Kentucky, the gospel expanding and reaching more and more people. God, help us to see the vision and to believe God for it. Amen. To make us fruitful. Now, Abraham, you remember he had a visitation. He's a tent dweller. He had a visitation from God, and God spoke to him and said, about this time next year, you're going to have a child. And you remember what Abraham did. He got down on his face on the ground, and he laughed, the Bible says. Really, he was saying, that's hilarious. I'm 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. But the Lord's response was, is anything too hard for the Lord? God can do anything. And he said, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And so what Abraham had to do is he had to get off the floor of the tent, get outside of the tent, and get out where he could see the sky and see the stars, so his vision could be expanded to understand that what God could do is the impossible. And you know, the power of the gospel is just that powerful, that God can do anything, and he can reach many, many, many people, and he can bring them into the tent. And so we need to enlarge the place of the tent. Now, I know that as far as our building here, we've got plenty of room. And so we don't necessarily need a bigger building, but we do need a bigger vision. Amen. We need a bigger vision. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, enlarge the place of our tent. Enlarge our vision. Stretch forth the curtains of our habitation. Lord, stretch us a little bit. Amen. We're too comfortable. We're too satisfied with the way things are. Lord, stretch us a little, or maybe a lot. Stretch us and help us to see, God, that you have a bigger vision, a greater vision for what you want to do and for what you want to accomplish, Lord, through the power and the message of the gospel. That's the promise of Isaiah 54. Amen. That God wants us to enlarge our vision, to stretch our vision. Amen. If we could ask the Lord, Lord, stretch my vision so that we could see greater and mightier things accomplished by the power of the Spirit of God, so that we can reach further and more and do more and see the church become what you want it to be. That's the message of Isaiah 54. Amen. The result and the impact of the gospel was a song to those that had lost their song, fruitfulness to those that were barren. Amen. Glory to God. And a vision to see the enlarging of the vision. Amen. The expansion of the vision. And that expansion, see, before it was all about the Jews, but now it's going to take in the Gentiles, which basically meant all of the known world, whosoever will, is going to be able to come under the canopy of the gospel message. Glory to God. Amen. I know of a church in the South that they began to bring in children into their church on the bus. They started bringing in a lot of kids, and a lot of those children were black African-American children, and a lot of people in the South had a trouble with that and caused all kinds of trouble in the church. And but yet they were supporting missionaries in foreign countries, and they were reaching out to actual Africans and blacks and around the world, but they just had this prejudice against reaching them. But this is a big canopy. This is a big tent that needs to be stretched and open to whosoever will. And no matter what their condition or their background or their race or their sins or their failures, or it doesn't matter who they are or how deep into sin or how far away from God that they may be, our reach needs to be further. We can't limit what God can do. Amen. Notice what it says here in the text. Stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Spare not. The phrase there, in every other version that I read that phrase, it means do not hold back. Do not hold back. Amen. The Lord has called us to take off the restraints, to realize that God's got much bigger things in store, much bigger things in the mind of God than we could ever imagine, wonderful and mighty things that he wants to do, and he wants to start it in your heart, in your mind, in your vision, to believe that God can do wonderful, mighty things to reach many for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's the promise of Isaiah 54. Amen. The gospel message is in Isaiah 53. The message of the cross, the message of the suffering Savior is in Isaiah 53. And then the impact of it is Isaiah 54. Amen. What God has promised that he would do. Spare not. Don't hold back. Don't allow yourself to be withheld or restrained in any way. But just believe that God is going to do greater and bigger things than you could ever imagine. As I said earlier, Abraham had to get out of the tent and get out where he could see the stars of the sky for him to believe that God could somehow use an old man, an old woman, to give him children and a nation as big as the stars of the sky. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, our vision is too small. Don't hold back in your prayers. Don't hold back in your zeal and your work and your fervency. Don't hold back in your willingness to be used of God to touch the lives of people, to witness, to preach the gospel to people. Just understand that God has given to us a wonderful promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Spare not. Strengthen the stakes, or fortify, get stronger, be courageous, act in faith. Amen. If we're to see God do the supernatural, then we're going to have to step out in faith. We're going to have to be courageous and step out with a confidence in God and believe that he is going to do wonderful and mighty things. Amen. Isaiah 54 and verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand, on the left. Amen. This is the picture of the expansion of the gospel to the whole world. Amen. Every direction, from the left and the right, it's going to break forth. Amen. Isaiah saw it hundreds of years before Jesus came. Hundreds of years before the gospel was preached, even for the first time. He saw the impact of it. What was going to happen? He said, it's going to break out. It's going to break forth. On the right hand, on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Speaking to this Jewish nation and telling them, no, it's not going to be confined to just to the Jewish nation. No, it's going to expand to the Gentiles, to everybody, to whosoever will, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Amen. Glory to God. I understand we live in a very depraved world, sinful world. This is a generation that needs God and don't even realize how desperately they need God. But God has positioned the church And he has given to you and I the call and the vision and the promise of God that if we'll obey the voice of the Lord, God will move. God will move and he'll fulfill his promise. Amen. So Isaiah 53, that's the message of the gospel. Isaiah 54 is the impact of the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you can speak, Lord, to us. Lord, and there's such a need. Lord, such a need all around us, Lord, to see many lives changed, Lord, for the glory of God. And we know the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's through the presentation and the simple message of the gospel, Lord, that has such power, Lord, to bring change and transformation into the lives of people. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to catch the vision. Lord, to expand our vision, to see that there are wonderful, mighty things that you can do as we walk in obedience to you, Lord. Use us, each one of us, help us not to hold back, but Lord, to move forward in faith and to believe, God, that you're going to do wonderful, mighty things through the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Can we stand together, everybody?